Well, it's always a privilege for me to open God's word with you. We have been in a series going through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm so grateful for the messages that have been brought over the last few weeks. Don Neff, Dustin Lead, and Heather Bivens going through a lot of the passages, Sermon on the Mount. They've done an amazing job. Can we show our appreciation for them as well? Sermon on the Mount is an amazing sermon of Jesus. And this is week 9. So we've been in this sermon 9 weeks, wrapping it up today. And as we go into this last portion of this sermon, really what Jesus is getting at is, let me get my stuff rearranged here. He's laying out the cost of following Jesus. What is this cost? So he's done all of this instruction and teaching on it, but now he wraps it all up with the cost. And so we're gonna look at that question. What is the cost of following Jesus? So I wanna make sure you have good expectations, realistic expectations. And so a couple weeks ago, my oldest daughter and a friend were flying into the Philadelphia airport. And so our youngest daughter offered to pick them up at the airport. It was her first time driving there. And their flight was coming in around 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. And so I offered to her that she could take my car to go pick them up. And so she heads out on this journey to go to the airport. And about 20 minutes after she leaves, I get a phone call from her. And she says, "Dad, does your USB cable in your car, does it not charge a phone?" And I said, "I don't know. I think it does because it plays music." And she said, "Well, it's playing music through it, but it's not charging my phone." I said, "Okay." And she said, "The problem is my phone is under 10% battery and I'm kind of dependent on the Maps app to get there." I was like, "Hmm." So I said, in a very compassionate way, I said, "Well, if your phone dies, just let me know." And she said, "How am I supposed to let you know if my phone dies?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." She said, "I'll figure it out, it's fine." And she ended up stopping and getting a cable and she got there safely. But I was thinking about how dependent we are on these Maps app, whatever app you might use, Google Maps, right? And Google Maps app really give you two things. They give you the directions to your destination and they give you realistic expectations. How long is it gonna take to get there? And so often, we rely on that to know, and I don't know if you're like me, but I like to try to race against the time that they give you. And it's like, I can just push the speed limit, and it's like, it still doesn't beat it. I don't know, it feels like a game, but it might not be the safest. But in following Jesus, what Jesus lays out here, he lays out the directions or instructions as well as the expectations. And so I wanna give you a few questions to think about today. Do you know what these instructions are, what it means to follow Jesus? And do you have a realistic expectation? And have you counted the cost of following him? Not just living with Jesus as your savior, but as your Lord, as King, as the ruler of your every area of your life. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 7. I want to start with verse 13. Let's let these words of Jesus speak to our hearts today. Jesus says this, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire." Pretty sobering words. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. And then Jesus closes the whole Sermon on the Mount with this parable. It might be familiar to you if you grew up in church. And he says this, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And I don't know what Jesus does after that. I mean, I don't know if people are like clapping and saying, oh, that was such a good sermon, or if he just kind of says that and walks off. I mean, it's a very interesting way to close a sermon out, isn't it? I mean, I always find these ways to be like, okay, what's like the last, let's pray. I mean, Jesus is like, hey, if you don't follow this, it's gonna be like a house that crashes, and then he walks away. But then verse 28 says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. What I see in here, there are two problems Jesus is addressing that all humans deal with. Number one, indifference. Number two, self-deception. Indifference is when you don't care about something or someone, and it's like having no strong feelings or interest. Indifference is spelled M-E-H. Meh. Right? Self-deception is when you trick yourself into believing something that isn't true because the truth is uncomfortable. It's like lying to yourself to avoid facing reality. And so Jesus lays out this whole passage about the cost of following him and said, look, you're gonna be up against indifference to Jesus and self-deception, deceiving yourself. So he says it's important to count the cost. And in order to be a genuine follower of Jesus, and if you're gonna count the cost, that means you're going to have options. You have to have options. If you wouldn't have options, it's like you're being forced to follow Jesus. So Jesus uses these word pictures to let us know what are the options we have in order to choose this cost, this high cost of following him. I'm gonna give you the word pictures right up front, what he deals with. Number one is two roads. Number two is two trees. And number three, two houses. We're gonna go through each of these today. So let's look at two roads. Jesus used this illustration of walking a pathway to help us understand the having realistic expectation of following Jesus. He said, there's one road that's gonna be easy and many are gonna be on that path, and there's another road that's gonna be difficult and few will find it. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity on a family vacation to do a little road trip up through New England, and one of our stops was in New Hampshire. And we were there for a few days. And New Hampshire has these beautiful white mountains. They're huge. It was such a beautiful area of the nation. I've never been there before. And so we decided we're gonna do some hiking, and we're not like the biggest hikers. We're not like a big hiking family, but we're active. And so I did a little bit of research beforehand, and I found out that New Hampshire classifies their hiking trails easy, moderate, or difficult. And so I was like, oh, we can do better than easy. I mean, it's like basically just walking on a road. We can do better than that. I was looking at what difficult are, and it's like they're saying you need some mountain climbing gear, maybe a pickaxe. I was like, I don't think we're quite there. So I'm like, let's go for a moderate trail. And so once we got there, I found out that my definition of a moderate trail was quite different than a New Hampshire's definition of a moderate trail. And so we stopped and we started seeing these mountains were huge and these were the moderate trails. And so I stopped at this place where there was the park ranger. And I mean, this guy was an old school park ranger. His name was Rex. And so I was asking him some questions. I said, hey, I got my phone, you know, this helped me navigate. He's like, oh, you're not gonna get cell service in there. You need a paper map. I'm like, all right. And I said, what about this trail? Is it difficult? And he said, there's some parts that are difficult. He said, but if you get through those difficult parts, you're gonna see some amazing views. And he said, it's kind of like life. You know, the harder the journey it is, the greater the reward. I'm like, okay, Rex, I don't need your little life lessons right now. I just wanna hike on a trail. And so we set out on this trail, and I mean, it was steep and it was hard, it was difficult, but he was right. There were some amazing views at the top of this mountain. And Jesus is laying out a very similar realistic perspective or expectation on what it is to follow Jesus. The path is going to be difficult if you're gonna choose to follow him. And he lays out these two opposing pathways that you can choose between. And what I see in here is he's listing out, the first one is this warning about indifference to Jesus. And indifference to Jesus is an easy path. And many will choose it. It will be a very populated pathway, but it is the road to destruction. And you know, there is real evil in the world. There is an enemy named Satan who's coming against God and his people. And his tactics are to bring chaos, confusion, and indifference to Jesus. And we must be very careful about this, very mindful of it. And I don't know if you saw the opening of the Olympic ceremony, but I was watching portions of it. And they were blatantly mocking Christianity. And if you didn't get to see it, they were blatantly mocking the Last Supper. And it was very offensive. And I found myself getting very offended at it, if I can just say. And so I took some time to just process through that, and I was, you know, reading different perspectives on it. And I began to understand and see, you know, the reason why Christianity gets mocked is because it's true. I have never seen anyone come out and publicly mock a belief in the tooth fairy, right? Nobody mocks that. Really, there's no other major religion gets mocked as much as Christianity. You know why? This is just my perspective on it. The reason why I believe is because it's real. And there's an enemy coming against it. And there are people who are trying to align themselves with the enemy to come against this. And Jesus said, this is what we have to remember. Jesus said, the world, if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus said these words. He said, the world's gonna hate you because it hated me first. I mean, even when we read in Matthew chapter 5, the very first week of, and the very first part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, God blesses you. This is Matthew 5:11. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. You know what Jesus says next? Be happy about it. I was not actually very happy about that on Friday. He says, be happy about it. Be very glad. You know why? For a great reward awaits you in heaven. Might not be here on the earth, but it is awaiting you in heaven. So for followers of Jesus, it's important to remember this world is temporary and our hope is anchored to the one whose kingdom is eternal. No matter what resistance comes against us. So you might say, well, okay, well, how do we handle when there's offensive things like that coming against Christianity? I think we need to go to the words of Scripture. Do you know what Paul said? He said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He said, you better prepare. There is a battle, but the battle is not between flesh and blood. There are evil powers in the unseen world that are gonna come again. So you gotta be strong in the Lord and stand firm. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And so my challenge and encouragement to you today is don't be indifferent to Jesus. Don't be indifferent to the evil in this world, but don't be indifferent to Jesus. Choose the difficult path. You know what the difficult path is? Being faithful to Jesus. That is a difficult path. Only a few will find it, but it is the road to life. Two roads you get to choose. Number two, there are two trees Jesus talked about. And he addresses self-deception in this one. He says, beware of false prophets. And he uses this illustration of two trees. You wanna be a tree, a good tree that produces good fruit, or a bad tree that produces bad fruit. And the very first way he addresses is he says, beware of false prophets. And so that is a choice. False prophets deceive themselves and others. So don't listen to one and don't be one. Well, my observation is that most people don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I'm gonna be a false prophet today. And they also don't say, I think I'm gonna go find some false prophets and follow them and listen to them. Because Jesus said, you know, beware of them. He said, you know why it's difficult to see them? Because they appear like harmless sheep, but they are vicious wolves. And again, that means there are some people who are intentionally speaking on behalf of God. They're intentionally misleading. And so we must be very discerning. If you start hearing people say, well, God said this and God said that, and interpreting what's going in our world on speaking on behalf of God, all I'm encouraging you to do is be discerning. Actually, I would take it a step further and say, be skeptical. I'm not saying God can't speak through other people. Just make sure those words are aligning with God's word. Beware of false prophets. They deceive themselves and others. True disciples, a good tree, true disciples who follow Jesus, they do the Father's will, not their own. Doing the Father's will. I mean, these are sobering words from Jesus. He said, there's gonna be people who say, Lord, we perform miracles in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did all of these good things in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And Jesus said, get away from me, you who break God's laws. I never knew you. How can you identify false prophets? How can you identify people who are saying and doing things that in the name of Jesus, but they don't know God? By the way they act. So Jesus said, by their fruit. And so true disciples do the Father's will. You wanna know how to do the Father's will? It comes from knowing God's word. You will discover God's will for your life, and it's always going to come against this instinct in every human to just live for ourselves. It will always be a battle because we have the sin nature that we're always going up against. Am I gonna live for myself? And God's word and his spirit continues to transform our minds. We're saying, no, I'm not gonna live for myself. I'm gonna live, you know, not my will, but his will be done. It comes from his word. You know, I was reading Leviticus lately. I just finished the book. I'm going through the first five books of the Old Testament. And if you've ever read Leviticus, there's a lot in that book that just does not seem relevant to us today. There's a lot of blood sacrifice. God gave Moses instructions for the people of Israel about how to offer sacrifices for sin. And I mean, this was a daily occurrence. They were always thinking about animal sacrifice. And so as I was reading through it, I'm like, what does this have to do with us today? I mean, is this still even relevant to us? And then I thought about this verse in John chapter 5. Jesus is in this conversation with the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were so committed to knowing the law of Moses. And here's what Jesus said to them, John 5:39. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me." And then if you jump down to verse 46, he said, "If you really believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me." So there are two things. First of all, back up. Anytime I read anything throughout all the scripture, I'm like, all right, what is the pathway to Jesus? I was thinking about that in Leviticus. Two things jumped out at me. Number one, Jesus sacrificed. All those sacrifices were pointing to one sacrifice that Jesus made when he gave his life once and for all. And the forgiveness of sins was made available for all people through what Jesus did. And the second thing is, that's how we can live for him. That's how we can do the Father's will, because Jesus made a way through his work on the cross to not just experience the forgiveness of sins, but then to understand there's this way of living, of following him and living out what following him is in this life that we have today in 2024. With all of the craziness and the chaos in our world, his word will give us direction and instruction on how to live. So you have two choices. What kind of tree do you want to be? And then finally, number three, there's two houses that Jesus points to. And the two houses represent people and how they will handle storms of life. And again, I think the warning goes back to indifference to Jesus again, because Jesus lays it out. He says, number one, the foolish listen, but ignore the teachings of Jesus to their own destruction. See, there are storms that will come in your life that will try to rattle your faith. So what is the foundation of your life built upon? When you see real evil in the world, or maybe you've been disappointed by somebody, or maybe you've been dealing with fear, worry, anxiety, what is the foundation of your life built upon? There will be a temptation to just be indifferent to Jesus and try to use our human minds to figure out how to get peace or how to get joy or how to alleviate pain in this world. And there's only one source, and Jesus is pointing to it here. So don't be like the foolish person who ignores. He said, be wise, be like the wise person. And because the wise listen, just like the foolish do, but the difference is they listen and practice the teachings of Jesus. And that's what builds a firm foundation. So if you want to know what the cost of following Jesus is, it's about putting his words, these instructions, into practice that lays a firm foundation in your life. So he lays out these choices. You have a choice. It's not going to force it on you, but it's a choice you get to make to count the cost of following him. You know, when I was about age 6, my understanding of Christianity and salvation, just at this, my 6-year-old mind, was that I heard an explanation of what heaven is, and I heard an explanation of what hell is. And hell sounded like a horrible place, heaven sounded like a really good place. And the way I understood that you can get to heaven and not go to hell was just by simply praying a prayer, just asking Jesus to come in your heart. And I was like, man, that's a no-brainer. So I did that as a young person. And I'm not faulting anyone for misleading me, but that just was my understanding at that time. But when I was maybe 10 or 11, I used to pray that same prayer I prayed when I was 6. I would pray it every night because I was just afraid that I did something that would have disqualified me from going to heaven. And I just lived in fear of going to hell. And that all my family would go to heaven and I'd be stuck in hell and I would just be tormented with that. So I would just pray every night for like a year. It wasn't until I was like a senior in high school when started to realize going to heaven is not just about praying a prayer. Following Jesus is not just praying a prayer. I mean, it is the pathway to heaven. There's only one way, it's through Jesus. What he did on the cross provided this forgiveness of sins. There's nothing we can do to earn that. It is a free gift by God's grace. And when we place our faith in Jesus, we receive this gift of salvation. But there's one step further on that, not just having Jesus be your savior, but having Jesus be your Lord. I began to understand as I'm reading this book, there's a cost to having Jesus as Lord, not just savior. There's a cost to having him be the ruler of every area of your life. And now that I've been following Jesus for a couple decades, the cost is becoming even more clear. My life is not my own. There's certain times where I feel like, oh, I want to do that. And I have to be like, no, I'm not going to follow. I want to follow. I want to do his will, not mine. I'll make sure my will is aligned with God's will. And Jesus paints it very clearly. He said, that is going to be the narrow road. It's not going to be popular. You're going to look different. You've choose that way of living, it's going to look different than most people's lives. See, the highway to hell, that road is broad. Many people are on that road. Only a few will find the kingdom of God. And so if God has opened your eyes to this, to see it, and really this happens just by the Spirit of God revealing. There's nothing I did when I was a senior in high school. There's nothing I did as even a 47-year-old to understand this. It is the Spirit of God revealing. If God has revealed that to you, let me just remind you, on the other side of that decision to faithfully follow Jesus is the greatest level of joy and peace and purpose. You know why? Because we can experience a joy that's not tied to this world. We can experience a peace that is not tied to, are things going well in our country or not? It doesn't matter because this world is temporary. And we want to be part of a kingdom that is eternal. So I want to give you an opportunity today. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to invite you to make that decision today. I pray for you all regularly that you would have spiritual wisdom and insight. Because for you to make a decision to follow Jesus, or if you're praying for a family member, it's not how skilled my communication is, or if you say the right thing, then they'll understand. No, this is a gift that the Spirit of God reveals. And so as God's word goes forth and somebody's heart is open to it, that's the power of the gospel that can change somebody's life, transform them. So if you're ready to do that, I wanna give you that opportunity. So would you just bow your heads for a moment? I wanna lead you in a prayer. It's just a simple prayer. But it's not a ticket just to heaven. This is a starting point to following Jesus. And so I want to make sure you count the cost of it. There may be things, when you make this decision, there may be things that you have to give up. But some of your friends aren't there yet. They haven't given it up. And it's important you count the cost on it. But if you're ready to make that decision, I'm only doing this prayer. I'm just going to invite you to repeat it out loud. I'm going to invite everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and he will return again as the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I receive forgiveness. My old life is gone and a new life has come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just feel that, those words just changing people's lives. I just sense it. When you place your faith in Jesus, Scripture explains that they're actually born again, spiritually reborn. And so if you've made that decision today, we wanna walk with you. The ushers have a Bible that we'd love for you to have, but really it's a starting point. If you would have the courage, if you prayed that, made that decision today, if you'd have the courage just to put your hand up in the air, unashamed of it, until an usher sees you and they'll give you that Bible, we'd love to walk with you. And then after the service, I wanna encourage you to stop by our connections room on either side of the auditorium. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you and pray with you and walk with you. And then your next step would be water baptism, just like we saw today. That's a line in the sand saying, it's how you, the moment you publicly profess your faith in Jesus, and then it's like, I'm following him, no turning back. Man, I think I saw a couple hands go up. Can we thank God for the word that's being changing people's lives? Amen. God, thank you for your work that you're doing in our hearts. And I pray the seed that's planted will grow. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Would you all stand, please? This has been quite a journey going through the Sermon on the Mount. So grateful. And I pray that it's not just a nice series we did in 2024, but you continue your study and your meditation on what Jesus spoke in these words. It'll change your life. I truly believe it. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you. Please feel free to come. Maybe you're facing something that just seems impossible. Let me remind you, God can do the impossible. And if you are new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections as well. We'd love to help you get connected. Before you go, let me just remind you, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. You'll be amazed at what he can do through you. Have a great rest of your day, a great week, and we'll see you here next Sunday.